1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Explosions in Tel Aviv as tensions between Israel and Iran escalate. Israel says it's ordered its army to intensify strikes after a major hit on a medical facility. The BBC's Dan Johnson from Jerusalem.
20 or 30 missiles were fired from Iran early this morning. We know some of those got through. There was damage to at least three sites in Tel Aviv. We believe seven sites overall were hit, maybe more. One of those sites is a hospital in Beersheba, and we've seen some quite serious damage there. A large emergency response to deal with casualties.
President Trump says he's still weighing his options on whether or not the U.S. will join Israel's offensive. Correspondent Weijia Jiang has the latest from the White House.
CBS News has learned that Trump actually approved a plan to attack Iran, but he did not make a final call in case Tehran decided to abandon its nuclear program. In fact, Trump repeatedly insisted that he has not made a final decision.
Another miss for SpaceX.
Whoa!
A Starship rocket burst into a huge fireball just before a planned test in Texas last night, filling the sky with plumes of smoke. Locals say their windows shook, dishes rattled. The company calls it a major anomaly. Comes weeks after another uncrewed SpaceX rocket exploded over the Indian Ocean. Fallout after the Supreme Court upheld Tennessee's ban on gender-affirming care for trans minors. 26 states have similar laws. The only option for teens who want hormones and puberty blockers, traveling to states without bans. But pediatric psychologist Dr. Jack Turbin says that isn't so simple.
Most providers were struggling to be able to see the patients in their own states. A lot of places have wait lists that are a year or longer. Some of them, their wait lists are so long, they've had to close them. So they're really, I don't know that there will be capacity to take care of patients from other states.
A jury in Boston has acquitted Karen Reed in the death of her police officer boyfriend, convicting her of a lesser charge of drunk driving.
No one has fought harder for justice for John O'Keefe than I have and my team.
Reed was accused of hitting O'Keefe with her SUV and leaving him for dead in the snow. The prosecution's first case against her ended in a mistrial. FDA's approved a groundbreaking drug to prevent the spread of HIV. CBS's Dr. John LaPook.
Now you have an injection twice a year that's more than 99.9% effective at preventing HIV/AIDS in people at high risk.
Problem, the price tag, it's estimated at $28,000 a year. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It's play ball today at Wrigley. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and Chicago Cubs playing today after being rained out last night. The game has now been rescheduled to create a doubleheader between the two teams August 18th. NFL former Packers place kicker Anders Carlson has been released by the New York Jets. Carlson, drafted in the sixth round in 2023 by the Packers, has spent time with the 49ers and now the Jets. Former Packers defensive back and special teams guy Robert Rochelle has signed with the Dallas Cowboys. NBA, the Pacers host the Thunder tonight in Indianapolis. Tyrese Halliburton doing everything he can to get back on the court despite a strained right calf muscle.
I mean, I think just around-the-clock stuff as much as I can. Massage, needles, hyperbaric, H-wave. I mean, just a bunch of different things to try to get it to feel as, you know, as comfortable as you can going into it. The right tape and stuff. I'm sure there's a bunch of medical professionals who better answer, but just doing everything that I'm told, trying to do everything I can.
That's the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A mix of sun and clouds today and warm with highs in the lower 80s. An isolated shower or storm possible late in the afternoon. That chance for a shower or thunderstorm continues into the nighttime. It'll be mild with lows in the low to mid 60s. Currently, it's 59.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Our old friend Dan Schaefer, political editor of Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area, will be here to help us recombobulate. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who does his own stunts, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for Act Two here at Nightlight tonight. Great to have you with me. We've got a secret, DeLorean Walls had to cancel tonight, so we have a secret review of the film Ballerina coming up at 7:35. And our question of the night is, in honor of National Splurge Day, what is in your shopping cart? We'll catch up on texts in just a few minutes. And we talked a little bit in the first hour about how Conrad holds doors open for people and no one seems to thank him, regardless of demographic or age.
Yep.
It just doesn't happen. I'm sure he would love to hear or get some advice from all of you. And I had a guy bird dogging me at the gym the other night who wanted to work in and I didn't know what to do with that. So we had it was a great conversation. But right now, I'm very excited. We've got my pal Dave Patterson is here. Dave is a movie producer and a writer and a playwright and a stuntman and a firefighter. And he does all kinds of things. Do you do foot massages, Dave? Is that on your dossier?
Only for the wife CV? On her birthday and anniversary.
Only? So, yeah. Okay, just those two times. Is that because you don't want to do them at other times? Or is she just like, you're not touching my dogs unless it's a special occasion?
We have an agreement. I don't want to go into it. She's an attorney there, and there's an NDA that's been signed. So let's just say, we've agreed to disagree on how many foot massages happen. And those are the two guaranteed ones.
I like it. I like how you guys make things work. And I always love to hear the word ergo or mea culpa when it comes to a foot massage. So
there you go.
Legalese. Absolutely. All right. So we were talking about all your various careers and it's interesting. I always feel like, especially as a writer, you have to bring stuff and life experiences to whatever it is you're writing. And you've got a stuntman background, and it sounds like you've done some really cool stunts, and you worked with Robin Williams. How was he, by the way? Was he pretty cool?
He was the most generous and incredible person I've ever worked with. He's a star, but he insisted on coming out of his trailer to watch me do his stunts. To make sure I was okay.
Wow.
So the first person to help me off the mat from my high fall was Robin Williams. Him helping me off the mat. Say, how are we doing, Chief? And then drowning in the East River, the first hand to reach out to me was Robin Williams. Someone else was holding his other hand because it was on a jetty.
Oh, man.
And he was helping me out of the water. He goes, how are we doing? Water looked chilly. How about that, Chief? And I'm like, yeah, it was a little chilly. I mean, for that, I had never experienced that on any other film set when I was doing stunt work, that the actors were concerned about the safety of their stunt people. And
what do you think about Tom Cruise, Dave? When he does these stunts, how protected? Like, I don't know if you saw the most recent Mission Impossible or the one where in Ghost Protocol, he jumped to the other building and broke his leg or broke his foot. How protected is he? Like, is it a miracle he's still alive? Or do they take such precaution? And I know that there are insurance issues when you make movies. You have to really protect people. But what's your take on that?
Well, I'd have to say Tom Cruise, who I really respect as both an actor and a stuntman.
Yeah.
He does have a level of crazy, which you have to give him street cred for.
Sure.
I've never met a stuntman who's worked with him that has not given him the exact same.
Wow.
There are safety elements to protect you in certain stunts. But if you've seen, I'm not ruining this because you've seen it in all the trailers, he jumps out of an airplane with a flaming parachute. And yes, there is another parachute to help him as he's going down.
Right.
However, sometimes backup chutes don't open either. And yeah. So when you talk about pure, I guess, craziness in a lot of ways, or faith in yourself, or maybe he's best friends with Jesus, I don't know. But I think the most dangerous job on a Tom Cruise movie is the producer that okays those stunts, because they may be out of a job if that shoot doesn't open. So, I recently heard that he's getting an Oscar. He's getting an Oscar, the next Oscars, for his, overall contribution to the film business. I think he deserves it, to be perfectly honest. I think he's a good actor, and I think he got kind of shortchanged in a couple things earlier in his career. But what he's done for the film industry overall, and especially for stuntmen, he's done a lot of things. They still need an Oscar for stunts, but
yeah,
we're working that way. We're working towards that.
Right. That's a great answer. So as we've discussed in the past on this show, you wrote and produced Bridge to Terabithia, the movie version. Your mom, Catherine Patterson, wrote that absolutely brilliant book. Mm-hmm. And I just want to tell you all what kind of guy Dave is. My daughter was reading it in fifth grade. I decided to read it with her because I knew you and because I wanted to see what she was reading. So we had that experience together. I thought it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever read. And there were a couple times I just couldn't stop crying. I teared up and it was just beautiful. Some very, very beautiful passages in the book. Dave agreed to meet with my daughter's class over, I don't even know if it was Zoom or if Zoom even existed then. It was pre-COVID, but you talked to her whole class, and I cannot say enough nice things about you. I still appreciate that to this day, and they got such a kick out of it. But how do you feel when this masterpiece your mom wrote is banned at various libraries throughout the country? I want to fight people when I hear that. I get so angry.
Yeah, you just kind of shake your head. You shake your head because, there's so many worse things in the world on the planet. And for them, because, one of the big things is the young girl questions the existence of God. What kid doesn't question the existence of anything in today's world? Authority, rules, regulations. And she doesn't say there is no God. She just questions it. And yet the book has been banned because of that. Some of the most ridiculous things is that the book suggests incest because the boy lives in the same or sleeps in the same bedroom with his sister because the house is like this big.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, that's definitely incest that, you have an older boy sleeping in the same room with his younger sister. And it's like, well, do you know poor? Have you ever met a poor person?
Right.
Literally, you have four or five kids sleeping in the same room. And, I don't think that's an orgy. I think it's just four kids having to live in the same room because that's all the space they have.
Wow.
So, and ludicrous things. Part of it's based on me as a child. And my mother knew that we used to create forts down by this creek and we would play and imagine. And so she wrote about that in the book and people are like, oh, well, this is about witchcraft and, gosh. Santeria and all this stupid things because the kids are making their own worlds. It's crazy. And, we have discussed this, my mother and I and other folks over the years, we don't think it's that they don't want a very tragic thing happens. I don't know if we want to ruin it for all the audiences, but that really, really bad thing that happens in the book, adults don't want children to be exposed to that. Mm. So they find a myriad of excuses to ban the book so children do not have to face that horrible thing that happens to all of us at some point in our lives.
Right. Your mom handled so beautifully in the book and explains it. Like, if anything, that's how you want kids to learn how to deal with loss or see an example of it. To me, I just thought it was amazing. It's based on your childhood and a friendship you had. So you're right. You don't want to ruin it for people, but I do encourage everybody to read The Bridge to Terabithia.
It's about a young boy's friendship found and friendship lost.
Yeah.
And you have to read the book to see how that happened.
So great. David Patterson is my guest. He is a movie producer and writer of movies and plays. So tell us a little bit about, you had a unique experience as a volunteer firefighter, Dave. You live in the suburbs of New York. How have you been able to bring any of those experiences to your writing or acting or stunt work?
Well, it's an interesting question. I was a rescue worker at 9/11. I had a construction background, one of my thousands of jobs, and I specialized in demolition. And so I walked into Ground Zero after the attacks and worked there for a couple of days. And when I came back out of it, I told my wife that there was two things that affected me. First of all, working alongside all the firemen, I wanted to become one, but I was already too old for New York City. They had a 30-year-old cutoff, and I was already 35. So I said, well, I think I could do it in town. And I want to become a fireman in town. And I've been now almost 25 years. Next year will be 25 years in the fire department.
Nice.
And then I also said, and I may get on a plane tomorrow, I may not land. So as a writer, I want to try to make a movie of my plays. I'd already had several plays done, some in New York City, but my career wasn't going anywhere. So I said, I'm going to take one of my plays and I'm going to make it into a movie. I'm going to send it to this film festival in California called Sundance. This is how ignorant I was. Sundance is in Utah, but I just knew Robert Redford was in charge of it. So I just assumed it was in California, Hollywood. And it got in. And literally my career as a writer producer took off in film. And that's primarily what I've been doing for all these years. But if you want to talk about finding characters in a fire department, let me tell you, that's a place to find characters and stories and steal them. A good writer always steals from people that they're unaware of. And then you just kind of change it around to make it your own. So the funny thing is, when I got into Sundance, the New York Times called my captain at the firehouse. And they said, we would like to talk to you about David Patterson. He said, this is New York Times? I'm like, yeah. You want to talk about Dave Patterson? I'm like, yeah. What do you do? And they said, well, he has a movie that's going to the Sundance Film Festival. My captain's like, well, what is the Sundance Film Festival? She goes, well, it's a film festival. It's like, Patty, he's like, no, he's a stay-at-home mom. He's probably vacuuming right now. He does not write. None of them knew I was a writer. None of them knew that I was an actor or stuntman. I just joined as a local guy. And they had no idea of my entertainment background. And so then they actually called me in and really grilled me about what I do in my life, because they knew me as a stay-at-home dad. They just figured I'd been unemployed for years and given up on looking for a job. And that's why I was home raising two boys.
That's so great. Have you seen the Manhunt, the search for Osama bin Laden? And I'm asking you this because as someone who is so close to Ground Zero, just as a dad who had a one-year-old son when 9/11 happened, and I was scared to death because we were living in LA. I thought LA was next. I didn't know what was going on. It was hard for me to watch the first 20 or 30 minutes of it. I don't want to watch those planes crash anymore. I just can't. I'm just done with it. I live through it from a distance, obviously, not like you. But do you watch those shows? Or can you get into them, or is it too difficult?
Well, that one specifically, no. Every year when it comes around, when they start showing you know, the reenactments or the stories about, you know, the day that I do watch them, because the crazy thing is, and I'm not the only one to say this, those of us who were there still have trouble believing that it actually happened. I mean, to be there, I mean, people say you always remember the smell. I mean, firemen remember smell. That smell was so unique. I've been in a lot of fires and there's never been a smell like that again. And so
jeez.
I think a lot of us check ourselves. That work Ground Zero, and I don't know if you are familiar or the audience familiar, we've had more people die from cancers from working at Ground Zero than the people that actually died that day. And I've lost a couple friends, and there will be many, many more to come. So a lot of us that were there do watch these things, because it's still, did it, because a lot of America has forgotten about it. So for a lot of us, it's like, it did happen. I'm pretty sure it happened. I was there. I saw it. I was a part of it.
And, this is great stuff. Let's pick up there. We'll have a couple more minutes with Dave Patterson after this very short break. Thanks. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The North Carolina legislature once again finds itself in federal court for two racial gerrymandering cases in a trial beginning June 16th. Voters and three pro-voter groups accused GOP leaders of violating the 14th and 15th Amendments to the U.S. Constitution and the 1965 Voting Rights Act. The cases were brought in late 2023 by Black North Carolina voters, the Southern Coalition for Social Justice, the state NAACP, and Common Cause. They contend that GOP legislators intentionally diluted Black voting power in the so-called Black Belt and other regions, affecting 9 state House districts, 5 state Senate districts, and 6 congressional districts. The original complaint contends, quote, "The General Assembly targeted predominantly Black voting precincts with surgical precision throughout the state, in drawing and enacting the 2023 plans at the expense of traditional redistricting criteria to achieve preferred district lines that diminish Black voters' ability to elect candidates of their choice at all levels of government," unquote. The legislature, in a familiar refrain, claims the gerrymandering was done for partisan reasons, out of bounds for federal courts, not for racial discrimination reasons. The trial is expected to last through July 9th and a decision before fall. We've linked to local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Great to have you with me on this rainy Wednesday. Tony the Trucker, our question is, what's in your shopping cart? Because it is National Splurge Day. Tony the Trucker says, Pete, it's whatever makes my wife happiest. That's pretty vague. And I read that because we'll get to the rest of your text. I knew Dave would like that one because you love a good wife joke, Dave.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've exhausted them after 30 years of marriage, so it's always good to hear another one.
Hey, speaking of which, tell us how you released a movie last year called The Girl Who Wore Freedom. You released it, I think, in 110 cities, close to D-Day. How did that movie do, and where can people see it?
Well, you can catch it on Amazon. It is on basically all the streamers. Okay. And that sort of dovetails to the story about the release last year. The film came out during the film festival circuit. You and I are familiar with the film festival circuit. Yeah. During the COVID film festival circuit. Oh, so it pretty much died a miserable death. Every festival got in, it won the award for best documentary. And we struggled to find distribution. And then not last December, but the December before, I told her, I said, you know what, we're going to put this in the movie theaters. And the filmmaker, she's like, there's absolutely no way we can do that because it's already on streaming. You know, we don't have a distributor. I'm like, no, we're the distributor, because technology had changed so much that we weren't sending film cams to places. Right. We were sending, you know, the little DCP thing, yeah, or whatever exactly. You call them. Yeah. And so she goes, well, you know what, you're going to go after the major chains? I went, absolutely not. I said, this is about America. This film is about America. It's about Americans who sacrificed everything. And it's, we're coming up on the 80th anniversary. So like I said, it was 18 months ago. I said, this film's about D-Day. It's the 80th anniversary of D-Day. We're going to get it in theaters. And what I did is, and what I explained to people about the internet, it's great, not just for free porn, but there actually is valuable research that you can get out of it. So what I did is I researched all the mom and pop theater chains throughout the United States, and there are thousands of them where they own like four or five theaters, but each theater has two or three screens. And the average age of these owners are your age or my age or older,
right,
who had family in World War II, whether it be parents or cousins. And so I tracked down their emails. I reached out. I said, we'd like to do this for D-Day. We're looking to release a couple, like a week before D-Day or through it and after. And we want to honor the veterans of your community. And again, I did the research. I said, you still have two World War II veterans in your community, or you have 12 in your community. And I said, this is an opportunity for you to honor the Americans that gave you the right to show whatever movie you want in your theater.
Love it.
And they bit. And we got it in over 110 theaters throughout the US. And it's a documentary. Do we make a ton of money? No, but I'm Scottish. We did not lose money. And that is the important thing. We made some cash. We made some cash. Everything got paid, and that was it. But
great call,
it was a
Vic.
Wonderful experience. And like Salt Lake City did a day of recognition. You know, they did a letter of recognition. I forget what it's called, but a proclamation.
Oh, okay.
And they honored all the veterans of World War II and all the veterans past and present, and they mentioned our show, and it was playing at this theater. And, you know, it was a wonderful experience because 85th, there's not going to be that many vets around.
Every year, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, this is shocking. When we did this almost 2 years ago, there were 250,000 World War II veterans still alive. I don't know what it is now, but by the 85th anniversary, that number will probably be 50,000. And those are the guys that lied, who were like 14 and 15, that lied to get into the services.
To fight for their country. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, that is, I don't know if people are listening, to self-distribute is a ton of heavy lifting. So I applaud you for that, Dave. That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't know porn was
everyone
free.
Was scared, but me. Everyone was scared about it but me, because I'm the dumb stunt man. I'm like, oh, yeah, we can do it. We can do it. It's no problem.
That's the Scottish in you, right? Of course, exactly. We can do this. I was going to make a free porn joke, but it just would have landed with a thud. My joke was going to be, I've got a $2,000 a month internet porn habit, so I didn't know it was free.
Yeah, that's a badump dump joke.
Hey, next time you come on the show, I want you to tell your say you pulled a Hasselhoff. We'll get into that next time. I cannot thank you enough for being here tonight, buddy. Always so much fun to talk to you. And I'm sure you'll have more stories next time you come back. Keep living life, bud.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. That's Dave Patterson. Go read Bridge to Terabithia, rent the movie, rent the great Gilly Hopkins, look for Love Ludlow and the Girl Who Wore Freedom. A very prolific guy and a heck of a guy, Dave Patterson. So, Con, do we have time to play that? Let's play that Tom Cruise. This is perfect segue because we have a clip about how crazy Tom Cruise is. Dave just talked about the stunt work Cruise does, and I found this clip. So let's hear that now.
I remember going up there, you know, just to see, just to look. And I sort of walked in, all these stunt guys with pulleys. Everyone was like sat on the floor, braced. It was completely silent. Everyone was really concentrating. And then I kind of crept towards the edge and I looked out and Tom was just hanging there with this massive eating grin on his face, like having the most fun. Everybody was so serious and utterly petrified that something was going to go wrong. And there's Cruise just having the absolute time of his life.
All of a sudden we hear, woo! And Tom goes by outside, swinging way wide by, and then he makes a rough landing into one of the sides of the building, and you hear, bam! And we're like, oh my God, our star's dead! And then we hear Tom laughing.
That was the scene, that was Simon Pegg talking, and they're talking about the scene where Cruise gets pulled out of the skyscraper, and he's on a cord, and they take precautions, but just incredible. That's actually not the clip I thought we had. I remember he was on a talk show with Rebecca Ferguson and some of the other cast members. So, but that was a great clip to watch. So anyway, when we come back, my son Joe will be here to talk about what he felt about, what's the movie? I can't, Ballerina, John Wick Ballerina. So we'll get into that right after the news. Thanks for being here, folks. This is fun. It's a Wednesday. What's in your shopping cart? It's National Splurge Day. We'll read some text when we come back, too. It's Peach Bob and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. How much do you love? Commit yourself.
Falls Radio, WXCO. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Explosions over Tel Aviv as Israel and Iran continue to trade fire. An Iranian missile hit a main hospital in southern Israel. As for the U.S. joining in, the BBC's Dan Johnson from Jerusalem.
We've seen an intensification of the conflict overnight, perhaps both sides showing what they can do while President Trump mulls over that decision and decides whether to support Israel in its attacks or not.
A SpaceX Starship rocket set for testing has exploded on the ground in Texas.
Whoa!
The company calls it a major anomaly. The FDA has approved a twice-a-year injection to prevent HIV. CBS's Dr. John LaPook.
This is huge. I remember my first patient with HIV/AIDS, March of 1981, first bed on the left. He died, and so did every single patient with HIV I saw for years.
The cost of Yeztugo, $28,000 a year. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
It's play ball today at Wrigley. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and Chicago Cubs playing today after being rained out last night. The game has now been rescheduled to create a doubleheader between the two teams August 18th. NFL former Packers place kicker Anders Carlson has been released by the New York Jets. Carlson, drafted in the sixth round in 2023 by the Packers, has spent time with the 49ers and now the Jets. Former Packers defensive back and special teams guy Robert Rochelle has signed with the Dallas Cowboys. NBA, the Pacers host the Thunder tonight in Indianapolis. Tyrese Halliburton doing everything he can to get back on the court despite a strained right calf muscle.
I mean, I think just around-the-clock stuff as much as I can. Massage, needles, hyperbaric, H-wave. I mean, just a bunch of different things to try to get it to feel as comfortable as you can going into it. The right tape and stuff. I'm sure there's a bunch of medical professionals who better answer, but just doing everything that I'm told, trying to do everything I can.
That's the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Bruce Springsteen biopic Deliver Me From Nowhere inches ever closer to being released. Jeremy Allen White plays the boss and has gotten high praise after sneak peeks. The cast also includes Jeremy Strong, who plays John Landau, Springsteen's longtime manager, and Stephen Graham as Bruce's father, Doug. According to Variety, the trailer is now available to view on YouTube. Deliver Me From Nowhere tells the story of the time in the boss's career when he took a break from touring and made the Nebraska album. The film hits theaters October 24th. Ted Danson says when he gave advice or predicted things while he was on Cheers, he was often completely wrong. One of his big miscues was predicting that Shelley Long was not at all right for the role of Diane Chambers. Danson told the story to Andy Richter during an episode of the Where Everybody Knows Your Name podcast that he does with Woody Harrelson. Not only was she right for the role, Long went on to garner 5 Emmy nominations, and Danson, although they had differences at times, said no one could have done it better. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A mix of sun and clouds today and warm with highs in the lower 80s. An isolated shower or storm possible late in the afternoon. That chance for a shower or thunderstorm continues into the nighttime. It'll be mild with lows in the low to mid 60s. Currently, it's 59.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night. And today, the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday, Sherita Booker will review some events you might want to visit around Wisconsin this weekend. Also, Chad Holmes and Sean O'Malley on your money and the markets.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on a rainy Wednesday. We're about to find out if it's rainy in other parts of the state, but in Northeast Wisconsin here, it is. It's kind of sucky. Con, don't you, do you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to the walk.
To the garage?
Yeah.
We should bring an umbrella. We should be like those guys that like try to both crowd under an umbrella when we walk back to the, just to make it weird.
I don't know if I know you that well.
To share. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you hold a door open for me, I'm not going to thank you just to keep that hitting streak going. Our question of the night, folks, is what's in your shopping cart? And that is in honor of National Splurge Day. Conrad's dad checks in from Florida. He says, like Conrad, I have a golf club in my shopping cart. The ultimate splurge would be to hire a crew to build an all-brick patio around our all-season room. Our neighbor just spent $30,000 on his new brick patio, which looks awesome, but wow, very pricey. People are really kind of shoehorning things into the cart, I think. I love that Monica Hale said there would be airline tickets so she could travel. Now your dad is saying he wants to build a brick patio. So he would find a way to put those things in a shopping cart. I love that. Thank you, Steve. What else do we have here? Kate from Stevens Point, she's in the 715, says Kinder eggs. Oh, that's a good one. Is there a little impulse buy eggs? I've seen those. And from the 818, Bridget says, school stuff for my classroom, magnetic blocks, fidget rings. Okay, so Bridget's a teacher. That sounds very selfless. And now I feel ashamed at the things I wanted to put in my cart, which was all cool electronics and sound bars for movie watching at home and guacamole and chips. So now I feel like a real jerk. Thank you. Thank you, Bridget. Thank you, Steve. And thank you, Kate. Still time to get in on the fun. If you want to send us a text, we'll read it on the radio. Tomorrow night on the show, making the popcorn pick of the week will be the guy behind. Are you excited for this, Conrad? The guy behind the guy.
Behind the guy. Yep.
J.B. Thompson will be here in studio. This guy is making independent films. He's a brilliant marketer. I think people have referred to him as a marketing ninja. So we'll talk to JB. He will make the popcorn pick of the week. And JB has introduced us to a lot of guests, which I think has been great since we've been on the air. And then following JB on tomorrow night's broadcast will be Chelsea Myris from Old World, Wisconsin. So that'll be fun too. We'll talk about a really cool museum. We'll get a popcorn pick from our pal JB and more great stuff tomorrow night on Nightlight. Right now. All right. So today, folks, earlier we got a call from DeLorean Walls. DeLorean helped found Brothers for Brothers, or Brothers Helping Brothers here in Green Bay. And we were going to have him on to talk about men's mental health because June is National Men's Mental Health Month. And DeLorean is very active in that world and with food insecurity as well. So we were going to have DeLorean on. He had a family emergency, so he had to bail kind of close to showtime, which that tells you it's a pretty serious thing. So we wish DeLorean well, whatever it is. Hopefully it's nothing too serious, and we will reschedule him in the near future and look forward to speaking with him. So filling in the bullpen, we're going for the lefty out of the bullpen on short notice. My best buddy in the whole world and my son Joe Schwabba joins us now. Joe, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Did I embarrass you with that intro?
No, I'm happy you called me a lefty. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Oh, that would be. You know,
I wish I was.
Your grandpa Tom, my wife's father, for those of you listening, suggested, because I was a bigger baseball fan than I am now, he said, tie his right arm down, teach him to use his left hand, because lefties, do you know that, Conrad? Lefties do they more likely are to get drafted. What am I trying to say here?
Well, it's because against right-handed batter, they succeed more.
Right, but they're rare. They're more rare, too. Yes, finding a left-handed pitcher, like even a mediocre lefty is going to make a lot of money. And I'm not saying it's probably too late for you, Joe. I hope that doesn't discourage you, but I had
my arm's tied down right now. I'm still committing. Even though you get ball given up on me, I'm still...
Fair enough.
Have dreams.
All right, so I thought this would be fun, Joe, because I know you just saw Ballerina from the universe, or from the world of John Wick. Ballerina is technically the term. We spoke about it briefly on the show, I want to say with Matt Miller recently, who was kind of, I think, liked it, but didn't think it compared well to the other John Wicks. I'm still going to see it. What did you think, Joe?
I did not like Ballerina very much.
Okay.
I thought that it's just one of those movies that isn't very good. And I don't know exactly how to explain why. I think part of it was because I went into that bias of it being a part of a, you know, everything has to be a spinoff now. That's the only way they'll make movies and put them in the theaters if they're a spinoff. Like John Wick already has 4 movies.
Yeah.
And they're good. But did that? Why don't you make a new action movie? You know, so I think I just kind of had that bad taste in my mouth. And I like Ana de Armas a lot as an actress. I think she's a really good actress. I think she might have been slightly miscast in this.
How so?
Movie. Well, I think she suffers from something that I like to call actor's run.
What's that?
Actor's run is where you have, you know, someone that's been an actor for a very long time, and they never learn to run or throw a football or do some of these.
Oh, funny.
You know, more athletic things. You know, like some people, like Keanu Reeves, I think famously in Point Break, like almost got a scholarship or something to a college because he was so good at football.
In real life, you mean?
In real life.
Oh,
when he was Johnny Utah in Point Break. And then, you know, he does John Wick. And he's this athletic guy, and it looks very real. But then there's people that I just didn't really buy Ana de Armas. You know, it always, when it would cut to her, she'd have this run that was just like, you know. And another movie that suffers from this is that one movie called Carry On that we watched on Netflix with Taron Egerton. Yes. And that dude cannot run at all. I mean, his pants were pulled up to like his mid-torso. And he's running, and it's just like, he looks like a toddler or something.
That was so funny. I forgot about that because we were watching him run, and he's the hero of the movie, and he looks like a total spaz. And you just kind of don't buy that. So, my buddy Mike Toomey always used to say that when they'd get actors to play athletes, and then all of a sudden they throw like they're using their left hand, and it's like, wow, really? You couldn't fake that somehow? So what was it about Ana de Armas that was it a run or something?
It was mainly the run. Okay. I guess the I just never, it never looked like she was doing that much damage. Cause I don't know. And maybe Ana de Armas is a very athletic person. I don't want to make any assumptions, but it didn't seem like when they would cut to her running or throwing a punch, it didn't feel like, you know, some like who's, why can't I think of her? Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh,
why can't I think of her name?
I'm totally blanking too. Oh my She's gosh. One of my favorite actors.
I can't think of her name. Can we look that up? Is that
I'm looking it up right now.
I keep thinking Keira Knightley. It's not Keira Knightley. It's
Fury Road. No,
can you give me a hint?
Yeah.
Is this bad radio right now?
It is bad radio, but it's okay. I got the director right here. Here we go. Charlize Theron, of course.
Oh, Charlize Theron.
She's like one of my favorite actors. I kind of blanked.
I know. But when she punches, it feels like there's something to that. Or she runs, you know, or Tom Cruise, obviously, just with Mission Impossible. You know, he's running and he's...
Absolutely.
I don't know. They're athletes.
So. And you're right about Keanu Reeves. Like, he has been taking martial arts for 20 years, too. Like, the guy knows how to fight, and he was athletic, and he can pull that off. All right. So, I want to say on Rotten Tomatoes, Ballerina got like a 60%. What would you give it if you had to just give it a percentile?
I mean, I want to start being a little harsher on these franchise movies that come out because I think that it's bad for the industry. So I would probably give it like a 20 or a 30.
Wow. Really?
I'm getting real sick of it. You know, every Marvel movie, I mean, they're being a little harder on Marvel movies now, but
yeah,
I just don't think everything should be a 8 out of 10 or 9 out of 10. It's like, it didn't always used to be like that. So I think we got to start being a little more critical on some of these expanded universe movies. Like, what else is getting rebooted now? Like,
well, the 28
How to Train Your Dragon gets a live action.
That got like in the '70s, but it crushed at the box office. It's supposed to be really good. Audiences love it, obviously, but here's another one. Here's another franchise. 28 years later opens up this weekend. 84 reviews are in, a 95%.
But that's
Danny Boyle too. I think people are excited that he's directing this again, and I have no doubt it's good. I really, that's one I want to believe.
That makes me look very hypocritical because I am very excited for that movie. So.
Well, I know what you're saying, though, and I've had, like, when Matt Miller or Rob Thomas or Chris Foreigner on the show, they've agreed with me that some reviewers kind of pull their punches a little bit, and it's because they don't want – and I think it's some of the lesser ones, not necessarily like the New York Times or Variety, but – they don't want to lose their press passes or their press credentials. So they don't really hammer these franchise films. But let me ask you this. Joe Schwabba, my son, is here. We're talking about Ballerina. He is the lefty out of the bullpen filling in for DeLorean Walls, who could not be here. Joe, you do comedy sports. You write. You're an actor. How do you feel? Where do you weigh in on these actors that judge other actors for doing Marvel films? Now, you're at a point in your career. You've done some indie films and commercials and stuff like that, but wouldn't you jump at that? I mean, put the serious actor side away and put your, because you like Marvel movies. Where would you come in on that?
Where would I come in?
Of course you do it, right?
There's nothing I wouldn't do to be in a Marvel movie. I mean, I don't think we fully understand how desperate I am. I would do anything.
All right.
I don't care. Yeah, I do. I mean, maybe if you're a really good actor, you know,
that like a Shakespeare,
a career. Like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I liked Marvel for a long time.
I know you did.
A lot of those movies are good. Just it's getting a little ridiculous now, I think.
All right. So, I appreciate you filling in, Joe, and I don't know how this cut into your social life tonight or not, but I appreciate you taking the time. Is it raining in Milwaukee?
It is. It is raining.
All right, so it's not just us. I want to ask you, before we let you go, what else are you watching? Is there anything you're excited about that you can recommend?
You see, I'm going to sound like even more of a hypocrite now because I just finished Andor, which is a Star Wars spinoff.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Okay.
It's awesome. That's an awesome show.
Con, what do you say to that? I'm not trying to start something here, but I got my actual son and my work son here. Some people have a work wife. I have a work son. What do you think about that, Con?
I mean, I watched one episode and I kind of got bored, so I just haven't resumed it.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it. Dude, get out of here. That's all I have to say about it. Give it a shot.
Okay.
Give it a shot.
Listen, I'm going to give it a shot. Jimmy Cusco was on the show, Civic Media Sports Director. He binge watched both seasons and absolutely loved it. So that was all I needed. But the fact that you're saying you liked it, and Con only gave it one episode, so I'm probably gonna lean towards checking it out. Joe, can we keep you through a really quick break here? And we'll wrap this up when we come back. I want to hear what movie, after this break, I want to hear what you thought about Andor, and I want to ask you what you're most excited to see of the movies that are coming out this summer. We'll do that with our guest, Joe Schwabba. Coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin,
chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. Go-to for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Matt Nair on air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, do we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Yeah. Oh, where can you go when your money gets low? In the basement, down in the basement. And if a storm is taking place, you can dance.
Welcome back. We are on the home stretch here at Nightlight tonight on this gorgeously rainy. It's not raining now, but the second I walk out and go to my car, it'll start raining again. So that's exciting. We got a text from Steady Eddie. Our question tonight, folks, was it's National Splurge Day. What's in your shopping cart? Steady Eddie says, Pete, for my splurge, all I want is one golf club, Augusta National or maybe Pebble Beach Golf Club in California. See what he did there? I like that. He says it has some beautiful ocean views. Fantastic. Thank you, Steady Eddie. Hope you're having a great night, buddy. So we have a couple more minutes here with my son and film connoisseur, Joe Schwaba, who is giving up part of his Wednesday night here on short notice to fill in for DeLorean Walls, who we will rebook. But Joe, so where do you, I asked you what you thought about Ballerina and how you would rank it on the tomato meter. Like if you could give it all the reviews and you said 20 or 30%. What about Andor?
First of all, connoisseur might be a bit much for me.
Okay.
I would say
movie fan.
Enjoyer. Enjoyer. I don't know. Okay. I would say Andor, man, 80 or 90.
It's funny. Jimmy Casca said it. He thought it was the best the Star Wars franchise had to offer. One of the best. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree. I think it's probably the best piece of Star Wars content I've ever seen. Maybe not my favorite, but the best, like, when it comes, like, as a piece of, you know, television.
Yeah,
I would say.
Wow, very nice. So, So what would you tell someone like me? You know my relationship with Star Wars. I grew up, I saw the early ones, and I liked it, but I kind of fell off. I think I've seen everything the franchise has had to offer, and I'm a fan, but I'm stretched out over 40 years. It kind of all runs together at times. What would a casual Star Wars fan think of Andor? Is there something in Andor for a casual Star Wars fan?
I mean, yeah, I remember we used to watch it all the time when my left hand was tied to the table when we were
I still did, and I still didn't get a lefty out of the deal.
No, you got a Star Wars fan though.
Yeah. All right. I'll take that.
I think that it's directed by the Bourne Identity.
Oh yeah.
Director or not director. I don't, did Tony Gilroy direct? I think he wrote the Bourne movies.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And he's actually somebody, and I've watched an interview with him, and he's somebody that said that he didn't really like Star Wars that much when he got the job.
Really?
And he kind of wanted to make it his own and kind of cater to people like you who might not be as big a fans of Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I would say you could watch this show and not know anything about Star Wars at all.
And still,
and it would still be a good show. Because I think it makes up for a lot of the things Star Wars lacks. Really great character relationships. The characters feel like they, each one of them has a life.
Okay.
And relationships and wants and needs. Sometimes Star Wars characters don't always feel like that.
Yeah.
And maybe some of the newer movies or the prequel series, they didn't always feel like fleshed out characters, but Andor, they really do. They feel like characters you can relate to.
That's interesting. And listening, we got a text on the text line. Everett in Sun Prairie is listening to our conversation and said, here's, he addresses Conrad directly. Con, bud, watch the show. Andor and Rogue One are the best product in the Star Wars universe since the original run. They are gritty and human and emotional. If the rest of the franchise could capture that tone, they would never get old. Good on you, Joe. And then Everett continues and says, Skeleton Crew is definitely solid too. Sort of a Goonies meets Star Wars vibe. And then Everett says, not a Star Wars nerd, by the way, just a casual fan. Okay. That's enough for me to watch Andor. Between Jimmy and Joe and Everett, I agree. I don't know Skeleton Crew. Do you guys know that?
I've heard of it. I've not seen it. I will say to Everett, it feels better once you finally just accept it. You know,
what do you mean?
You're a Star Wars nerd. Just, I mean, the few, the proud, right? We got to stick together.
But I don't, and let's not, you know, guilt Everett into thinking he has to be full blown Star Wars nerd. I'm more along the lines of Everett here too. So
I'm not guilting Everett. I want to celebrate him.
Those are great texts. Yeah. Joe, what are you looking forward to this summer? Like, I don't know, next time you'll make it up to Marinette, but what do you want to go see? I'm really excited about 28 Years Later that opens this weekend. A 95% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. I'm really excited for that as well. I'll definitely be seeing that movie. I really want to see Friendship.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that yet. And I really need to, because I've heard really good things. I want to see that. I do want to see Superman. I'm interested.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued. I got to at least see it to see what's, what James Gunn is doing with it. I'm kind of curious. And then I want to see the new Naked Gun movie with Liam Neeson. That looks interesting.
I'm so torn about it. I mean, I'll see it, but it just did not need to be remade. He's great. Liam Neeson does the same movie all the time, but he's great at that. But aside from that, he's also a great and highly trained actor before he got into the action realm. I will say this about 28 Years Later, Jodie Comer, Aaron Taylor Johnson, Ralph Fiennes, great cast. So I'm excited to see that too. Joe, thank you so much for your time, buddy. I miss you, and have a great night. We'll do this again, I hope. Thanks for filling in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You got it, buddy. All right, that's Joe Schwabe. I'd like to also thank Dave Patterson. Great catching up with Dave. Thank you for all your texts and calls. I know, Con, you going to give Andor another try now? You're getting pressure from all over the place.
You know, I'm always looking for a show to binge, so I might as well go back.
All right, why not? I'll tell you what. You watch it, and I'll watch it, and we'll compare okay. notes at some point. Maybe by next good. Week when we're back, when I'm back from Madison. All right. Thanks so much, folks. Always fun spending time with all the fellow couch potatoes. And on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Back and forth airstrikes between Israel and Iran intensify. The BBC's Dan Johnson in Jerusalem.
Buildings have been damaged and people injured in areas close to Tel Aviv. And overnight, there were two waves of Iranian missiles targeting Jerusalem and Tel Aviv.
Israel's defense minister is threatening Iran's supreme leader after a missile attack damaged a major hospital in the south. At least 40 people are reported wounded. The State Department's restarting interviews for student visas, but all applicants must now open social media accounts for review. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
International students have faced increased scrutiny since President Trump revoked permission for thousands of them to study in the U.S. before he reversed course. Although increased pressure continues, especially at Harvard.
The FDA has approved the world's first twice-yearly shot to prevent HIV. CBS's Dr. John LaPook says the problem, the price.
I spoke to a spokeswoman from Gilead. She said it's going to be about $28,000 a year.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.